button to your conference call. Your call will begin very shortly. Thank you.
And as usual, here in Helsinki, we have analysts, investors, and media present, and hopefully a lot of people also participating in the teleconference. The material which we'll be using today has been published on our website this morning, and I'll try to remember what page I'm on the handout material when talking. If I don't, please shout or make a sign. We will have a normal presentation, and then after that, a Q&A, and I'll start the presentation by a couple of key messages and comments about the market situation as we see it, and also our position on the markets, and then from there we'll move on to the summary of the results, some comments on the guidance and the rest of the year. We move on then to the situation, an update by business area, and of course comments on Russia, raw materials, and the normal stuff. And if anybody here in Helsinki has a mobile phone, please switch it off in order to make sure that we have the lines working properly. But first, a couple of comments before we go to the results on how we see the market. And as everybody who follows the tire business knows, the market during 2013 was quite weak during the beginning of the year. And also, it has been characterized during the first half by quite a lot of price pressure and price fighting in practically all product categories, practically on all different geographical markets. And I'm glad to say that we've started to see positive signs, both in the economic development in Europe and of course, the geography in which Nokian Tyres operates. The car sales has turned, especially in the Nordic countries and north of Europe, quite a lot since the summer for the positive. Also, the tire market, which was down significantly after during the first 6 months, we were talking about a total replacement market being down by 8 to 9%, and winter tires being down about 20% after 6 months, has improved quite a lot, and after three quarters, the European market is down only by 2%. And when looking at the sell-in and the market, we believe that both the Central European market and also the Nordic countries will be pretty close in volume terms to last year. So there are some positive signs. When looking at Russia, which we'll be commenting on later on more in detail, the trend has been the reverse, and unfortunately have to be a bit humble and state that at the beginning of the year I was too optimistic about Russia in general and specifically about the tire market during the second half. It has been weaker, both as an economy, and of course the Russian ruble, the devaluation of the Russian ruble has had an impact on our numbers as well. When looking at Nokian Tyres in total, I think the main message really is that in a fairly like weak market, we have been improving our market position further. We are the clear market leader in Scandinavia and Russia, where in both markets we have increased our market share. And the situation is pretty much the same, that in 70% of the geographic markets in which we operate, we are a clear market leader. But let's then move on to the results and comments on those. I don't think that there is any big surprises, as we gave a profit warning as such earlier. The third quarter profitability was slightly better than we anticipated earlier. You could state that average prices in relation to raw materials resulted in a better raw material margin. And with slightly weaker sales into the third quarter, we still managed to make an EBIT of roughly 96 million, which is, in fact, an all-time high third quarter in the history of Nokian Tyres, and also the margin was quite good. We booked also a bad debt of roughly 2.5 million in the third quarter. So when you put the clean numbers in, we made in fact slightly more than 98 million of operating profit in the third quarter. And basically, we continued to win market share, as I stated, and to also look at how to further improve our industrial structure. So we continued building more production capacity in Russia, and of our passenger car tire business, we are now manufacturing about 82% of the total volumes in the Russian factory, which helped also when looking at the profitability in the quarter. I'll move on then. I'll be talking more about the guidance later on, but we'll move on to page 7, where we have the results by quarter. And if we summarize what we've seen during the first months of 9 months of this year, during the first quarter, we had a quite weak market situation, and we lost also some offtake production, which we were making in the first quarter. But after that, in the second and the third quarter, we have actually booked all-time high EBITs, both in Q2 and Q3. But we have not been able to fully catch up with what we lost during the first quarter. And when going forward into the fourth quarter, market situation is improving in CE and in Nordic countries, where we actually have been able to continue to grow. We've had very good results, especially in Sweden and Central Europe. And if we leave out the offtake loss which we had in Central Europe, we've in fact in Central Europe increased in volume terms our sales by 8% in a falling market when we're looking at volumes. We're looking at ASP, and that you could say that in Q1 and Q2 we had flat pricing, more winter tires. In the third quarter we had a slight decline in average price in passenger car tires, which resulted in that the total ASP euros per kilo from the beginning of the year have declined by 0.4%. We believe that it's not a bad result when considering that market prices generally in Central Europe have declined between 5% and 7%, and in North America by between 5% and 12%. In Russia, we've seen a decline in the B segment, and we've yet have been able to, through mix improvement and the new products, able to improve or maintain the ASP which we have. Presently, when looking at the capacity utilization, we started the year by cutting production capacity in the weak market in the first quarter. We ramped up capacity during the second quarter, also adding lines 12 into production in Russia, and built the 13th line. During the third quarter, we have been running flat out in the Russian plant and continue to do so today. So we are running full capacity utilization in Russia, and also full capacity utilization in the Finnish plant 5 days. But when looking at how we see the end of the year, we anticipate that we will cut production in December in Finland. We will probably produce only about 8 days in the Finnish plant, and also limit in December the volumes of production in Russia, and probably also have, well, as every year we close the Russian plant during the first two weeks in January, going into the summer season. So in the guidance, we've stated that we are expecting for the second half slightly reduced sales and also slightly reduced EBIT compared to last year. So this is, let's say, the normal situation. When looking at the situation today, we had snow a couple of weeks ago. The sales have been improving on some markets, which are positive effects. But then on the other hand, we have the ruble hitting pricing in Russia. I would say that in a positive scenario, we would be able to do a flat or slightly improve EBIT during the second half compared to last year, which is slightly more positive than the wording in our text. But as I stated, in a normalized situation as we see it today, we stick to the guidance. Okay, so that perhaps on how we are going forward. Raw material prices, I will come back to you, but will continue to go down. So we expect also the like raw material margin to be on a healthy level, but we are going to be selling in December quite a lot of summer tires again, which will have an effect on the mix and the ASP in the fourth quarter. So ASP in the fourth quarter will be affected by the mix changing as usual. Then if we look at page 8 on the market situation and how we've been developing on the different markets, I'll be commenting it by area. In the Nordic countries, the sales volumes of replacement tires have declined by 1% during the first 9 months. Winter tires have, in fact, increased by 2%. And that is more or less what we've sold more in the marketplace. Our market share and our position in the Scandinavian market is that we've increased our market share based on some industry pooling by roughly 1% unit during the first 9 months of this year. So our market position, we are clear market leader, ballpark 29-30% of all type replacement tires sold in the Scandinavia are Nokian. And the most positive market has been Sweden, where we have increased sales more than on other like Scandinavian markets. The Russian replacement market has been weaker than we expected on the back of car sales and also some carryover inventories of summer tires from last year. So totally sell-in volumes by industry in Russia during the first 9 months have declined by 11%. And if we look at the different like segments, summer tire sell-in of the industry are down about 20%, and winter tire sell-in by industry totally is down by roughly 5%. And this has to do with like various aspects. Winter tires mainly by the car sales going down, and summer tires by carryover inventory. Our volumes in Russia are practically the same as last year when looking at tire volumes sold. The mix has changed, so we have sold more winter tires, and our market share totally in the A and B segments in Russia have increased by in the ballpark of 3.5% units. So practically we've again in Russia been like swimming or paddling against the tide. In other Europe, the market, as I already told, is down about 2% totally. And when we take off the Bridgestone, we've increased 8% in volume terms. Our market share in Central Europe, other Europe, has increased roughly from 5 to close to 7%. In Central Europe in winter tires. So also on that market we have been able to like move forward. Then a couple of words about how we see the raw material developing and where we are today. Gradually, raw materials have continued to go down during the year, and we have basically been enjoying quite a lot of tailwind. Perhaps we had a slight windshield earlier when giving guidance, but today we estimate that the full effect of raw material savings or tailwind will be in the ballpark of 50 million compared to last year. And that means that in order to stay still on raw material level, we can take a blow of roughly 3% in ASP going down without having the margins being diluted. In fact, we don't believe that our prices will go down 3%. They will go down a bit, but less than 3, which means that the raw material margin improvement, which you've already seen in the third quarter, will continue also into the fourth quarter. When looking longer term, we are actually our method of buying raw materials, we buy forward at the moment. We've already contracted next year, the first quarter, and are buying in raw materials for the second quarter. And we estimate that raw materials will be down clearly compared to this year, first half during the next year, and during the first quarter, pretty much on the same level as we are having at the moment and will have it in the fourth quarter. So that is something which will help a bit when going into next year. Right, then let's move forward to page 11, and I'll pass this pretty briefly, basically just stating that the structure of the company is pretty much intact, the same as before, with passenger car tires representing about 74-75% of total top line, and of course the majority of EBIT is generated by this unit. In heavy tires, we are down due to the special tire demand being down at the moment due to mining and so on. But despite that, we're able still to make, with a 65% utilization rate of capacity, an EBIT of roughly 11% in these circumstances. And in truck tires, which we haven't commented that much in the past, a smaller business, roughly 40 million at the moment, on an annual level about 60 million. We are making healthy profits, and we'll be combining these two smaller units, the heavy tire and truck tires, as from the 1st of January, to something which we call commercial tires. It will have employ about 280 people. We'll have a top line of roughly 150 million annually. And we believe that it will also generate an EBIT of in excess of 15% EBIT margin, which is the level that the combination creates today, roughly. And in Vianor, we are looking at that, like going into the fourth quarter, which is where we make the money, and our target is to show a positive full year result when coming out from this year. I'll comment a bit more on that. Then we'll move to page 12 and passenger car tires. I already commented on most of the points. Perhaps one important point concerning the situation and the comments I made about an improving market. There has been, perhaps you could call it, a price war globally, which started in 2012 mid-year and continued pretty much to summer months of this year. In our report, I wrote that the price rot has stopped during the summer months, and we are now seeing some signs of the pricing environment improving. And as an example of that, we are looking at increasing prices ourselves. We have already announced that we will increase prices in Central Europe, but in summer tires by 3-5% on the 1st of November this year, and for winter tires 3% also from the 1st of November this year. And we've had some other companies already commenting on changing prices and improving them. We have one company, for instance, one of the big global European companies have already published their summer tire price list in Russia with increased prices. And we're also looking at that, like improving our pricing in the summer tire range in Russia a bit. So that's where we are. When looking at the full year results, we are obviously fighting hard to catch up, but unfortunately we'll be, due to the weak ruble, going to be behind last year a bit for the full year of this year. But profitability is still at a healthy level. We are talking about a level of roughly 35% EBIT margin for the previous quarters and also for the full year of this year. Obviously, I won't be commenting too much on next year yet, but we are in the middle of looking at how to budget next year, and we are looking at the market and the tide turning, and we are at least budgeting some growth for next year, both in top line and in EBIT compared to this year, and some improved output and so on, both on because of Central Europe, Nordic countries, but also the Russian situation changing with car sales starting to improve a bit. Okay, then a couple of words about tests and test results. As you knew, we renewed our winter tire range. 70% of the range was renewed for Scandinavia and also for Central Europe and North America. The results have been excellent. You could say that we have put the Scandinavian or Nordic winter tires totally on a new level. We've been basically winning all tests in the magazines with the exception of one, which we lost. We do not quite understand why, but there you go. It's like you can't win all the hearts, it seems. But the start for the new product has been really good, and especially in our home markets in Scandinavia and Russia, it has been a great success, both on consumer level and also with retailers. And we believe that this is going to also help us quite a lot when we're going forward next year. One of the principles we have is that we are going to launch new products every year, and next year, at the beginning of Q1, next year is not going to be an exception. We are again going to like put something new out into the marketplace when going into next year. Okay, I won't be spending more time on these, but move on to Russia and page 16. And if we first start by stating that the market in Russia has been slower than expected, there is more information on how we see the GDP, consumer behavior, and car sales developing on pages 19 and 20. But if we just take a general comment, Russian GDP was expected to grow in the ballpark of 3%, 2.5% to 3% this year. The latest estimates are that the Russian economy will be somewhere between 1.5% and 2%, with state 1.8%. GDP growth. For next year, we estimate, and the consensus seems to be that Russian economy will improve a little bit and will be growing somewhere between 2.5% and 3%. When looking at car sales we estimate to be down full year about 5% compared to last year. But again, we had like the market was down about 7% after 9 months and has gradually started to improve. When we look at car sales in Russia in September, the decline was smaller than during the beginning of the year, and Western cars declined only by 1%. And it seems that the program, which was initiated as an interest incentive for consumers, is starting gradually to bite. So we believe that car sales will see some improvement during the end of Q4 and the beginning of next year. But we are talking still about fairly modest and flat markets, so there is not going to be a rocket going up suddenly. Our sales in Russia, as I stated already, on volume terms are pretty much the same as last year. Average prices have come down a bit in euro terms due to the devaluation and also because of the mix changes. So we sold a little bit more B-segment tires this year than last year. Also, there has been a price fight going on, or a price reduction, perhaps not a price fight, which was initiated by the Japanese players earlier this year, and also we had to decrease our B-segment Nordman prices a bit in order to maintain improve our positions. When looking at how we are positioned in Russia, we are a clear brand and price leader in the Russian market. We have more than anybody else distribution. We have roughly in Russia CIS today about 604 Vianor shops and have been expanding it. And in manufacturing, we have now a capacity of roughly 15 million tires in the plant. Roughly 55% of the volumes produced in Russia so far during this year have been exported. And we are, in fact, the biggest consumer good exporter from Russia, which of course helps us a bit when looking at the networking with Mr. Putin and his regime. What perhaps is also worthwhile noting is that despite the fact that our net sales have decreased a bit in Russia, our EBIT is actually higher. So not only as a margin, but in absolute terms, we've increased the EBIT in the Russian operation during this year compared to last year. So there's been a shift when looking at the different areas. Okay, so I think that's enough. Then a couple of words, page 17, about distribution. I already stated that we have more distribution than anybody else, and you could say that this is alongside the factory and the price and brand positioning, our strongest tool when moving forward. We added to the structure in the Q3 24 new Vianor shops, and also we added to the points which are selling Nokian tires with the so-called Hake Guarantee program, and so which now are about 3,000 in Russia. We are also launching a new concept in Moscow this year during Q4, with the first 12 shops being targeted, which is called, this is not in our report, but I'll tell it anyway, a new chain called Entire is going to be launched in Moscow, which is targeted at a slightly different audience than Vianor, with a slightly lower range of products being sold, but also a franchise operation. Then we're looking at the plant. I already stated we have at the moment 13 lines installed in the factory, a capacity, nominal capacity of 15 million by the end of this year, and just in order to give analysts and others a benchmarking, that means that 15 million tires are produced by roughly 900 people. So if you do a benchmarking between different companies, that's perhaps useful information. And in the new plant, which will have a capacity of 6 million, we employ 300 people, which means 20,000 tires per head per year. I think that's about four times higher than the industry average. Okay, so we believe that this machine is the most effective and highly automated of any tire plant globally, and is able to compete against whoever from wherever. And I'm trying not to be arrogant, but that is a fact. Okay, then a couple of slides on the market, which I will pass. The Russian economy, I already commented. Consumer confidence is on the same level as before the recession. But unfortunately, like interest rates have been fairly high and has stalled the market, as the Russian government have been trying to like keep inflation at bay. We believe that this policy will gradually change during Q4 and going into Q4 in order to like get the economy back on a growth track. Gases, we also commented, and then when looking at the replacement market of tires, we have again updated it and reduced the growth estimates compared to what we've had in the past. And perhaps the most significant change is the market value, which is here on page 21 on the right side, as we've taken in the impact of the Russian ruble being devalued into the prognosis, whereas the previous years have been done as they are. So obviously, unless there is a change in the ruble, then that is pretty much what we estimate. Going into next year, we estimate that the market will be going up again a bit and that the market volumes next year will be pretty much the same as in 2012, possibly a bit ahead of that. We've also changed the structure of the market a bit and added a bit to the C segment in volumes. That is not a change in the marketplace as such or the players. It is basically the fact that some of the like lower B segment players have reduced their pricing during this year and are categorized now as C player because we utilize 60% as an index. So it's basically just like moving some players, some brands into the C segment, rather than being in the B in the past. So that is the driver for the estimate change. Okay, then a couple of words about the distribution and Vianor. The main point here is that they have been doing a really good job in expanding the network. And we are behind in EBIT terms after 9 months compared to last year by roughly 4 million, which is pretty much the additional labor cost we've taken in when acquiring 43 service shops, which we've integrated into the Vianors. As we are now in the process of changing the equity on part of Vianor to transfer from a pure like tire shop into a full service point for cars, making like maintenance and like periodic services also, and not only tire change. So we believe that that's going to pay dividend when going forward. The target for this year is that the roughly 14 million of EBIT, which is negative at the moment, will be able to catch up during the last quarter. And the target is to show a slight annual positive EBIT for this operation for a full year. We're looking at the structure of the network. I already stated that we've increased in Russia by 24, a total like number of Vianor shops opened during the first 9 months this year is 124. So the average, which we've had now for a couple of years of opening roughly two shops per week, is maintained. And the focus, of course, is in Central Europe and Russia, which are the growth areas for us. But we are the biggest tire chain in Scandinavia with a market share of roughly 20% of all the replacement market. We are the biggest chain in Russia, CIS, and now growing quite well also in Central Europe. And the new concept called Nokian Authorized Dealers, which we launched about during mid-year last year, has also progressed quite well. The target is that we'll have close to 400 shops by end of this year. We've signed a couple of like big contracts in order to do so. So we know that we will be expanding, especially in Italy and Germany, during this year, and we'll be opening also shops in China. We made with one Japanese major car manufacturer to deal to open 100 shops in China during the next 6 months, and with one like Scandinavian car manufacturer to open 40 shops in the north of China, opening up the distribution for winter tires. So this is moving on as planned. Heavy tires on page 25. I already commented that we are looking at with reduced sales to be quite close in EBIT terms full year compared to last year, showing double-digit margins with roughly 65% utilization. The plant has been modernized, productivity has increased, and there is a potential of increasing top line from with full utilization of in the ballpark of 40 million in that unit. And when we've been running like utilization at more than 90%, we have been making about 22% of EBIT. So that is the potential. It's cyclical business, and let's see when the market turns. We don't believe that it will turn during end of this year, and we don't believe that it's going to dramatically change going into 2014. So a slight improvement, but nothing dramatic. Truck and bus, small part, but very healthy and good profitability. And then a couple of words about the balance sheet and cash flow. Of course, balance sheet at the moment we have, like as usual, because of seasonality, some interest-bearing debt. We believe that we'll be debt-free again, showing very strong cash flow at the end of the year. Cash flow, based on our own projections, will be slightly better than last year. Of course, CapEx is lower, and we see already the receivables, especially in Russia, coming in at a very good rate. So there should be no big surprises. Our CapEx for this year is going to be between 140 and 150 million, and with Russia, of course, taking the bulk of it, and the new molds for new products. When going into next year, we estimate that the average which we stated in the past of something around 120 as a level, 100 to 150, if I would have to guess today, I would say 133 million. But that's an educated guess, so we'll have to wait and see whether that changes a bit. So also cash flow, then generation being good next year. And nothing new about the factories as such. We have healthy capacity potential in the plants and can actually increase output from these two units without major investment by 50%. So again, quite good like potential for improved sales. And our guidance, which we gave a couple of weeks ago, of like net sales and operating profit being slightly down compared to last year, is intact. There is no reason to change it, and there's also no reason to change the comment on seeing some growth going into next year. I think that's enough as a presentation, and we can now move to Q&A. And we'll start by questions here in Helsinki. Please state your name and the company you are from before asking the question. There seems to be at least one question.
Hi, Kalle Karppinen from Danske Bank. Question about Q4. You've had all-time high EBIT in Q2 and Q3 for the quarterly level, but according to guidance, even if you would make the flat or slightly improving Q4, it's likely to be down from next year. So what are the main changes, down from last year, main changes compared to last year in Q4?
I think that the biggest change is the Russian ruble being down roughly roughly 8.7% today, about 9%, which means that we are not able to change our pricing in ruble, as our pricing is in rubles. We are not mid-season able to change the pricing, so we'll have a cut in euro terms because of the ruble in the last quarter.
Okay, and since you're exporting a lot of production from Russia, I assume the weaker ruble is a positive for that export business, but it's not enough to offset the lower profits in Russia.
No. As we guided that in during the profit warning, that we expect the Russian ruble to have roughly a 24 million impact on top line negative and roughly 14 million negative in EBIT terms, basically from Russia. But of course, there is also some positives for exports from Russia to Central Europe and Nordic countries during the last quarter. But as you said, not enough to offset from where we are.
This is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. If I just continue on the same subject, I understand there are hedging contracts, but I still don't really understand the logic there, because we know that H1 earnings tilt to Russia, while you have a lot of exports from Russia in the second half. So this kind of negative effect from the ruble should be more seen in the first half of next year than in the second half of this year.
Well, all the sales that we are booking in Russia, or we already had a negative impact in the third quarter because of the Russian ruble. As we are reporting in euros and selling in euros and selling in rubles, of course you will have a negative impact because of that, both for Q3 and for Q4. And we're looking at the pricing of tires. They are basically priced seasonally. So both summer tires and winter tires are priced. So pricing for summer tires are actually done at the moment. We had Michelin coming out in Russia last week. We are coming out next week in Russia with summer tire prices, which will be valid practically until July next year, unless we do something later on during spring. And as I said, we are looking at some increases in ruble pricing. And winter tire prices are published normally at the beginning of the year or in December. There is a rebate scale for the full year, but the price is valid practically for the full year. And the Russian market is distinguished by the fact that the big part, roughly 75% of winter tires, are actually delivered and invoiced pre-season, which means that you will have a big part of that be delivered and then roughly 20% seasonal sales. And you cannot change the structure of the pricing mid-season too much, because you would be disrupting all your distributors' inventory values and the pricing point. And one of the most important things when operating in the Russian market and the pre-season structure is that you have price stability. Otherwise, you will lose the customer loyalty. So it's a very fundamental a part of the operating model. So unfortunately, we can't help it at the moment. What we can do is increase prices, of course, in ruble terms when going forward.
How big part of your Russian sales this year is linked to new car sales? What is your best estimate of that?
Oh, that is a very, very difficult question to answer directly, because we sell directly to car dealers and we sell quite a lot of tires through retailers to... But if we generalize and state that we have roughly 2.8 million cars sold in Russia this year, out of those, about 2 million about will be Western brands. All of those will buy winter tires. So multiply that by 4, you will have 8 million winter tires in the premium segment. Our market share of that is higher than our average market share. In winter tires, we have a market share of between 39 and 40% in Russia, in the premium segment. So it's pretty high. So the impact of car sales is direct, partly, and partly indirect. And the fact that we've not been able to increase the volumes of sales, but being flat, is still, I think, a quite like good achievement in a market where we've seen sell-in of tires reduce. So in summer tires, we've sold less tires this year than in 2012, and we sold clearly more winter tires in 2013 compared to last year in a market which has declined 5%. So our market share has increased clearly.
But what I'm looking at is just the replacement opportunity going ahead. In the Nordics, I assume around two-thirds of your sales is going to replacement, and what is that share in Russia at the moment, roughly? I know it's hard to explain, but just to get some picture how far you've gotten.
Fine. I know what you're talking about. The Russian car park today is about 38 million cars in traffic. And the replacement cycle is longer than in the Western world. We believe that it's between 3 and 4 years, depending on tire. The tire replacement cycle in Russia is ballpark five years. So you can extrapolate basically what the replacement market is. The car park in Russia, as in also on other markets, for instance in Europe, have despite the declining car sales during this year, continued to increase. So the car park in Russia during the last 3 to 4 years have increased from 32 to 38 million. And as this year, consumer sales of tires is slightly down compared to previous year. We believe that there is pent-up demand, not in Russia, but not only in Russia, but also in Central Europe. The only market which seems to be fairly balanced is Scandinavia.
And then about raw material prices, do you see any signs of a leveling out or that they would start to go up again?
Raw materials?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, we don't see any true signs of raw materials going up. Of course, nobody knows what will happen during the second half of next year. And normally, when prices or markets pick up, raw materials start to go up as well. So when doing our budget, we have been cautious and looking at some price increases in raw material for the second half of next year. But to quantify exactly what it's going to be is very difficult today.
And then finally, about the legislation of winter tires in Russia, could you please give an update on the situation there?
The legislation which was supposed to there is a decision to have a compulsory use of winter tires as from the 1st of January 2015. There was already some pre-decisions on winter tires becoming compulsory in Russia from the 1st of January 2014, but that has not been approved and it has been delayed. Presently, the plan is to have the compulsory use of winter tires implemented 1st of January 2015 in Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. But again, we've seen these comments and decisions being delayed many times, so we'll have to wait and see whether that's going to happen. And anyway, when talking about specifically Russia and Kazakhstan, the impact on the demand as such on winter tires is not going to be that great, because most cars anyway already today have winter tires. So we don't believe that winter tire legislation in Russia would have a major impact on the long-term demand for tires.
Okay, Artem Beletsky, SEB. A couple of questions from my side. Just coming back to Russia and your revenue development in Q3, so we did see quite steep declines there. Mm-hmm. What is your best guess in terms of Q4? So should we still see similar trend there or some slight improvement?
Well, in Q3, the decline in sales was related, the majority was actually the ruble rate. And then an ASP which was about 4% lower due to mix and a reduction of prices in the B segment. I believe that you will see some decline also during the fourth quarter. But as we are, the visibility is not that great because we are in the middle of the season, not pre-season sales. It's basically like moving day by day. The signs as such are pretty good, and we've seen like more inflow than we expected at the beginning after the first like snowfalls. Also, there has been, and again, I have to be cautious in order not to like inflate hopes too much. There has been some problems. Our competitors, some of our European competitors, seem to have problems in delivery of the Nordic and the Russian tires. So we will probably catch some additional sales in Q4, which relate to other guys not being able to supply the market. We've already seen that if you go to a tire chain here in Finland called E, starting with E, owned by a French company, you will see that they are promoting Nokian, using that as a spearhead for the seasonal sales, and it's not by mistake. There are reasons for that.
And maybe a question regarding Russian distribution and this new tire chain concept, what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Would it be targeting Nordmand or purely or something?
It will be targeting like more Nordmand consumers than Nokia consumers, whereas Vianor is more targeting Nokian. So the share of business is slightly different than the structure of business. Also, the shops are slightly downgraded compared to the Vianor shops.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Raul Juva from Nordea. Just one more question on Russia and the distribution side. How do you see the inventory situation at the moment, given the kind of demand seems weaker than expected? Do you see a risk, given a normal winter, that there will be carryover inventories to next year?
As I said, we like don't see any true like problems in inventory levels with winter tires. It's been better than we thought, and the start of the seasonal sales have been pretty good. But of course, it's still early days, so we'll have to wait a couple of months and see out the season first.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, there is one more question here in Helsinki.
Yes, this is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken again. I just wonder when, of course, the Russian distributors are quite used to the ruble volatility and historically they have kept on buying tires a bit too long. Did you see some kind of like immediate, you know, pullbacks or like cautiousness when the ruble started to come down at this point of time, as you can assume that the price of cars that are imported goes up significantly in rubles?
Domestically, when looking at the behavior of our distributors, we haven't seen any true impact because of the ruble.
So it's a pure currency, no kind of like behavioral impact from.
There doesn't seem to be any true like behavioral change because of it. Okay, there's no further questions in Helsinki, so we'll move on to the phone lines.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Erik Golrang from ABG. Please ask your question.
Thank you. I have three questions. Firstly, Kim, if you could clarify a bit on guidance. It says in the report operating profit in the second half to be down year on year, and then I guess we need the fourth quarter EBIT to be down 10% at least. Is that right? But you said it could be better. So if you could just clarify on sort of sales and EBIT for the fourth quarter, what your expectations are there.
Well, yes, I already talked about that a bit. We stated that the like second half is going to be weaker than last year. And of course, we made about 10 million more EBIT in Q3, which would indicate that like it's a borderline case In a positive scenario, the weaker H2 might be a wrong guidance. It could be flat or slightly better. But today, it's still early days, difficult to say where we are going to head, and we'll see how it progresses. So we'll stick to what we've stated in our guidance, and let's wait and see. Hopefully, we can do slightly better than that.
Okay, then the second question on the pricing side and your comments there about the Japanese being quite aggressive in Russia. What has this really meant for you? I mean, you said you've gained market share in Russia and margins are also up. So how much of a headache has this really been, or are you flagging that the negative impact from this is yet to come?
Well, not really, because when looking at that, like, this is also what I've been argumenting for, is that when you look at Nokia tires, we are the most expensive tire in Russia. The Hakka Velita age is 10 to 20% different, depending on size, more expensive than the global French company's winter tires, and about 5 to 10% more expensive than the German guys. And last year, when the market actually grew by 4 million units, we captured 50% of the incremental volume growth, so 50% of market growth. During this year, with like the market being down, we have been able to maintain flat total sales and increase the volume of winter tires, again against the tide. So this only proves the case that for a tire dealer, it's not necessarily low prices which is important. It's the margin he can make on a tire. So branding, availability during the season, and the whole life portfolio of process, how you do business and earnings is quite important. The like seasonal sales for a retailer are very expensive, decisive for his profitability during the year. 30% of all the winter tires on consumer level are sold in 10 days after first snowfall, which means that when he's selling to consumers, he's not fighting with the price. He's fighting against the time and looking at how many tires he can actually mount in order to maximize his profitability. So if he has to choose between an expensive tire with a high margin or a low-priced tire with a low margin, it's not difficult to understand that he will prefer a product which carries value, both for him during those days and carries value for us. So low price is basically not changing the market structure as such. The only effect is that the package, everybody have to adjust their prices a bit in order for the gap not to become too high and maintain the like margin like and earning potential. So we don't think that going down in price dramatically as done by the Japanese and some other people is helping at all in order to gain market share. I would say that it's actually counterproductive. It was a long answer to your question, but no, we don't believe that there is like something bad in the pipeline.
Okay, thank you. Then the final question on sell-in versus sell-out in Russia, not knowing where Q4 ends up for you sales-wise, but it looks like there could be a bit of a discrepancy between end market demand and your sales. What's your take on the difference there for the second half of this year, and then also what that would imply for 2014 in terms of sell-in versus sell-out? Thank you.
Well, of course, this is all guesswork and looking into the crystal ball. Both when looking at the full year of this year, it will depend on how like the season will continue during this year. We've already stated that like we believe that the volumes and value because of the ruble will be down a bit. When looking at the total of next year, we are budgeting growth and driven by improvement of all the markets in which we operate. Probably flat or some growth in Scandinavia, some improvement in Central Europe, and some in Russia. And as I already stated, we are not looking at like fantastic like growth as such, but like a positive trend starting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Philip Watson from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Oh, good morning. It's Philip Watkins from Citi. I just had a couple, please. I was just wondering if you could sort of update us on your medium-term plans for the Finnish plant, and whether you think there's a good reason to have plants outside of the two that you currently have elsewhere in Europe. And the second part of the question actually is on production in Russia. I was just wondering what percentage relates to the non-premium business currently, and where that might go. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, first of all, when looking at the justification of having a plant in Finland, is basically that the Finnish plant is where the knowledge is. So R&D and all new products are developed in the Russian plant or in the Finnish plant, and for R&D purposes you need a living factory. So if we would like plan to close the factory in Finland, we would have to move the R&D and all the knowledge which we've like been consolidating for the last 100 years from Finland to another place. That is practically impossible. So the Finnish plant is going to be there for a long time. Also, we have the best technical knowledge in the Finnish plant. So new processes, new machinery, which we utilize elsewhere, is first introduced and the prototypes are built in the Finnish plant. So, for instance, the fully automated new plant which we built in Russia was based on technology which we've developed during the last 3 to 5 years in the Finnish plant with prototypes. And so there is an important development role for the Finnish plant. And there is a scale of economy need to have a certain size for a tire plant. We believe that the minimum size for a sensible replacement tire operation is in the ballpark of 3 to 4 million. We are running the Finnish plant presently at roughly 3.5 million. It has a nominal capacity of 6 million, but we are running at roughly 3.5 presently. So the Finnish plant will stay. When looking then at longer term, we have inbuilt, if we take Finland and Russia combined. Last year we produced and sold about 15.5 million tires. Presently in these two factories, if we like do a couple of bottlenecks investment, add one more line in a Russian plant, and take Finland up back to 7 days, we would be able to run 25 million from the same asset base. So like there is tremendous like leverage in our manufacturing machine. It's almost like I feel like being a Formula driver with a V8 engine and only 4 cylinders running. So there is like presently quite a lot of potential for capacity. So a third plant is of course going to be built at some stage outside Russia, and as we've stated before, we have already like full blueprints for a factory in Central Eastern Europe, and also agreements and so on with governments on subsidiaries and so on. The decision on startup has been delayed by the long recession which we've seen during the last couple of years. But gradually, that will come on stream, hopefully soon.
On the production in Russia, how much is CSEC?
Production of Russia, how much? Basically, roughly 50-50 when looking at like the AMB segment for Russia, and 55% of total volume being exported the main market being Central Europe.
Sorry, so the C segment is, there's nothing really in Russia?
We don't sell any C segment tires.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Pewter from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Good morning, and many thanks for taking my questions. The first one is pretty much a continuation of what you discussed before, which is the use of cash. I mean, you just said that the CapEx plans have been or continue to be pushed out. Where do you see the optimal capital structure for Nokian right now, and how much, let's say, availability do you see to redeploy cash, and what are your priorities for the next couple of years? And then secondly, also on a question just previously asked, I remember that earlier this year you said you were looking at potentially entering the C segment with the better outlook for the Russian market over the next 2 years, which you're showing today. Is this off the table? And then my third question is also something I've asked before. On your website, there's still the sentence which says there's a maximum age for the senior management of 60 years. I was just wondering if you could give us any update on the process there, or when we could expect an announcement as to whether you're allowed to stay. Thank you.
Okay, fine. So the first point on the capital or the structure of the balance sheet and the gearing. You probably are looking at what we aim to do with the dividend, which of course is for the AGM to decide how dividend policy is. We have been paying more than 50% of net earnings during the last couple of years. Last year we paid €1.45, giving a yield of roughly 4%, I think, on per share. When looking at next year, of course, today it's difficult to give an answer yet, but if we make an indication, I said in the presentation that our cash flow is going to be better than in 2012. Our CapEx is going to be below last year, or this year, next year, which indicates that cash is also going to be increasing, cash flow improving in during next year. We have no need of sitting on a pile of cash as such. So I believe that you will see a healthy dividend next spring also. What exactly that is I won't comment on today, but there is no reason why we would keep owners' money. We'll give it back to you. There is no short-term need for it. Our balance sheet will be very strong after year-end. We'll be debt-free, sitting on a pile of a couple of hundred million of cash. And our capacity expansion, I already mentioned that we can increase output in the present factories by 8 to 10 million without any major CapEx plans, basically doing what we are doing today. So I think that when looking at the dividends going forward a couple of years, they will be fairly healthy. And when looking at the gearing as such and how we structure our need for financing is seasonal, as more than 80% of what we sell is winter tires, and we carry a high working capital, especially after the third quarter, in receivables and inventories because of what we sell in. And we don't want to change the model as such. We need a healthy balance sheet in case there is a bigger like than anticipated disturbance in the marketplace. History has taught us that in Russia, during 10 years, there are at least two major drops, and you have to be able to withstand that type of surprises. And in order to take care of your own business and your partner's business, who we finance, you have to have a strong backbone. So we aim to continue to grow, pay a healthy dividend, but also to keep a strong backbone and low gearing.
That's very clear. The C segment question and the retirement age.
Oh, sorry, I forgot that one. And also the entering the C segment. If we take that one, the C segment entering, we are not going to enter the C segment. We are going to do something, as I stated, next year. We're going to have a couple of launches early next year, which will address a couple of segments in the industry. One being in the B segment and one being in the A segment. But we are not going into the C segment as such. And the retirement age, there is no news at the moment on that one.
Okay.
When there is going to be news, we will, of course, come out with those.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Thomas Besson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask your question.
Thanks. It's Thomas Besson at Kepler Cheuvreux. Two questions on your receivables, please. First, I mean, the absolute amount is higher than it's been for a while, and in number of days it's very high. I understand your comment saying that they're flowing well, but could you effectively comment on the possible risk of write-offs linked with the evolution of Forex? I mean, did you effectively take this 2.5 million cut because it's bad debt or because it's Forex? So basically, it's something you've shipped, delivered, invoiced early this year in Q1 with a different exchange rate. What does it imply for your receivable payments in Q4?
Okay, first of all, like the receivables as such are pretty much in line with like our business and the development of it. And if you look at, okay, we haven't published the ratio of winter to summer, but this year we have been selling more winter tires compared to summer tires. And that means basically that you will carry more receivables because of it, because you're selling winter tires as pre-season and carrying it as a receivable until Q4. With summer tires, you get the cash in July. With winter tires, you get the cash in the fourth quarter. So the slight increase in receivables have to do with the mix between winter and summer. So there is nothing unusual on that. The bad debt, which we like booked in Q3, had nothing to do with exchange rate or Russia. It was actually a bad debt which we booked in Spain. We had like some one of our distributors in Spain went bankrupt, and then we had a receivable there which we had to write down.
Okay, and the question on something that has been invoiced in Q1 at a different ruble rate than now, what is the implications for your receivables?
Sorry, I don't understand your question.
Well, it's quite simple. You ship, say, 100 tires in March to one of your Russian dealers. It's invoiced in a level of at an exchange rate which has now dropped by 8 to 10%, so it means you're going to get so the receivables we are seeing in your books at the end of September already account for the different exchange rate, or we are going to see an impact in Q4?
No, we have already done it.
Okay,
so you
great.
See it in the results today.
Great. Another question on Forex. Sorry, I might be candid or stupid, but I'm not sure I understand exactly if your comments about the 25 million impact on sales and 15 million on EBIT roughly is a gross or a net impact of the export benefits.
It's net.
It's net. So it's
on group level.
Great. And last question, please. You're putting together the heavy trucks and specialty business into a commercial tire segment. Is it a sign that you want to sell that business, or is it just from an organization standpoint easier to have these together? Is a carve-out feasible of the specialty business as well?
It can be a sign of both. I think the first aim is to improve the operation side of it, utilize the synergies and improve the business as such, and to come to what I stated, an EBIT level of more than 15% as a margin. What then happens in the second stage is speculation, but we'll wait and see. Presently, the cycle is down, and like we'll have to wait and see for a better moment, at least, if and when we would be capitalizing it.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Gaëtan Toulemont from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning. It's Gaëtan Toulemont, Deutsche Bank. I've only one question, or two question related, regarding the raw material. The tailwind this year is 50 million. Knowing the price you're going to pay for the first half of next year, is it fair to assume that first half of 2014, there will be a tailwind of approximately 50% of that amount, 25 million?
Well, of course, it will depend on the volumes which we produce, but it's fair to assume that if you take the price which we have today and compare it with what we paid in Q1, there's going to be a significant saving.
Okay, but my number is not too far away.
Well, you're the analyst, Gaëtan.
Okay, thank you. Okay, second question. During that call, you complain a few times about the pricing environment, but if I do my numbers correctly, the net pricing is down 0.4%, so we talk about negative impact, something like 10 million. And if you have a 50 million tailwind of raw material, net impact is approximately positive 40 million. So in the end, it's a pretty good environment.
Well, the environment is fairly harsh. We have been doing slightly better because we've been able to change our mix. So we've been able to increase the share of winter tires. We've been able to, by the launch of new products, to keep prices at a healthy level, despite the fact that the pricing environment, when looking at the markets, have been harsh and pricing levels have declined on most markets.
But do you agree with me?
We've been able to offset it with raw materials and also productivity gains.
Okay, but do you agree with me that raw material tailwind is higher than negative net pricing?
It is, yes. Raw material margin has improved.
Okay, that's super. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Neil Fair from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. It's Niels Ferrer here from HSBC. Maybe just you can just summarize for me again, what was exactly the reason now for your profit warning in early October? Was it your forecast on the weak ruble and on the pricing pressure in Nordman? And maybe as a follow-up, maybe what has exactly changed since today's release and early October with your operating profit for Q3 being up 12% rather than flattish or slightly up only 1-2%. What was again the major driver? Was it the higher market share gains in Nordic countries, or what was exactly the positive surprise here? And then the other question is just again on your Bridgestone manufacturing contract. Maybe you can just give us the impact on Q3 sales from that effect. Thanks.
Okay, well, let's deal with the Bridgestone first. The impact of Q3 was zero because we made the like off-take tires for them always in Q1.
Okay.
This year's results, we had a decline in EBIT in Q1. We had an improvement in Q2 when we made no off-take in Q2. We had an improvement in EBIT in Q3 where we also made no off-take.
Okay.
And then on the profit warning, we stated in the profit warning, which we gave that the main reason for the weaker situation is that the Russian ruble will cut top line and also profitability during the end of the year, and will have an impact on our results. So basically, what we are stating that we are not being able during the last 9 months to be able to catch up with what we lost in the first quarter. Summer tire sales and off-take production, which we lost in Q1, we are not able to fully recover, and then we will hit, we've been hit with the devaluation, which will have an impact on the fourth quarter. Also, it has to do with the fact that by, at the beginning of the year, we anticipated that the Russian total market would be in volume terms flat, with winter tires growing and summer tires declining. And now, unfortunately, we've learned as we go forward that, that the winter tire sell-in will actually not grow during this year. It will be slightly down in volume terms when talking about the full year. And that will have an impact on the second half sales. It's generated basically by the lower car sales and also the consumer behavior.
Okay, but you would say that the that Central Europe and Nordic countries clearly improved that compared to what you have seen, let's say, 1 month ago, right? I mean, that's the reason why you're giving us now also a more positive scenario.
They are improving, not clearly. They are improving, like bit by bit, step by step.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Lila Martino D'Ambrogi from Equita. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everybody. My first question is on pricing in Central Europe. You mentioned you are going to revise upwards summer tires, if I'm not wrong, 3-5% and winter 3%. Could you elaborate on what's the behavior of your competitors in Central Europe on this issue? My second question is on the Eastern European plant. You mentioned hopefully soon. Since you expect some recovery of the European market, I understand it's a very likely 2014 event, so it's just a matter of short
okay,
time.
First of all, pricing on our what kind of consumers do, I propose that you check it yourself. I won't be commenting, but we've had like indications from two of the major players in Europe that they are increasing prices. European players. Then concerning the new plant, as I stated, we have 8 to 10 million of inbuilt capacity in our own asset base today. I believe that that is going to be enough as a growth potential for at least the next 2 to 3 years, so we won't start building a plant in 2014.
Okay, thank you.
Your final question comes from the line of Bernard Dongzhu from the Bank of America. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to come back on your Russian tire market demand assumption for 2014. So it seems that you think that the market will be up 3% or so in 2014. But when I look at 2014 and like the main drivers for the demand, so the new car sales are likely to be up, you know, like high single digits. But given the tire replacement cycle in Russia is about 5 years, you should also suffer from the new car sales being down 50% in 2009. So overall, how can you expect that that the demand will be slightly up? Thank you.
Okay. Well, I didn't catch everything you said. It was a bit difficult to hear what you said, but I heard the end, which I think related to how do we think that the car sales and tire sales will be up next year. Well, it has to do with the fact that the car park in Russia is still fairly low per capita. We are talking about roughly 290 cars per 1,000 inhabitants. It's gone up gradually year by year. This year, we estimated that the car sales would increase. And it was increasing, in fact, in 2012 quite healthily until August, September 2012. And the reason it started to slow down was basically the consumers, when borrowing money to buy a car, were hit with increased interest rates. If you bought a car in, let's say, June 2012, you paid about 8.59% of interest, maximum 11. And at the end of 2012 and the first half of 2013 until June, you have been paying in the ballpark of 14% interest on loans and for consumer goods, roughly 11% at the moment for housing. And that stalled the market. And it has to do with Russian government policy and them central bank allowing the commercial banks to increase their margins. So in Russia, interest rates have increased, not base rate, but interest rate as a total, as a function of commercial banks' margins going up. This year, we knew it already at the beginning of the year, Mrs. Nabiulina, the exchequer of Russia, was planning to help the car business, and they introduced an incentive or subsidy for people who consumers who buy a car of 5.5%. So if you go to a bank and you are offered a loan with 14%, you will get 5.5% paid by the government, and you pay 8.5% yourself. And this changes the rules of the car sales already today and also at the beginning of next year. So in Russia, of the roughly 3 million cars, roughly 1.4 is cash-based. People buy cars with cash. The gangsters always have money, regardless of what the cycle is. And then you have normal people lending money, and that's about 1.5 million presently. Slightly more than 50% of cars are financed by banks. So interest rates on consumer loans is the one and most decisive factor for car sales in Russia. Demand is huge, but interest rates and financing is decisive. So we believe that this is going to change and improve when going into 2014.
Yeah, but when I look at it, the new car sales, you know, likely in 2014, there will be like around 3 million, and it will compare to 2.8 million in 2013. But when I look at, you know, like the new car sales in 2008 versus 2009 versus 2008, you know, in 2009, the new car sales were 1.4 million, and it was 2.8 million in 2013. And this will impact the pure replacement demand, I would think, next year.
Well, if you look at the car, first of all, like if you look at the replacement market is mainly affected by how many cars are in traffic, and the number of cars in traffic increases continuously. So we basically buy 1 to 1.5 million units per year. We are now at 38 million compared to in the ballpark of 32 million back in 2009. So the base of cars in traffic is the driver for the replacement market. And of course, as part also mileage-driven. Unfortunately, mileage-driven is not like followed by statistics in Russia. Car park is, and basically it's going up, which means that the replacement market is also growing.
Okay, thank you. A second question, coming back to the currency effect. The impact used to be much more limited in the past, and I think in your financial report you were previously stating that a 10% move in the euro versus the ruble had a 1.1 million impact on the profit before tax. But now, you know, like the drop through from the sales to the EBIT, it's much higher, so it's more than 60%. So it seems that on top of the translation impact, there is also a much heavier, you know, like transaction impact. So what has changed? Is that your financial hedging or your natural sales exposure hedging due to a shift in your Russia local sales versus the exports ratio?
I propose that on these detailed questions on impacts and sensitivity, you give our CFO a call and have a chat with her on exact numbers. But broadly taken, Russia represents about 35 to 40% of our sales, which is then the part of our top line. and our total top line is ballpark 1.6 billion. So like one change in the ruble of 10% had now an impact of roughly 0.8% on our like top line, and our EBIT ballpark 400 million last year, 14 million out of that, again like easy mathematics. But as I said, please call our CFO. Her name is Anna Leskela.
No problem at all. Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, I think.
Sorry, you do have a follow-up question if you'd like to take it.
Okay, fine. Well, I think we'll have to stop. This is the last question. Otherwise, we'll be missing a couple of other meetings today. So last question, please.
Okay, so it's a follow-up question from the line of Niels Fehr from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Yes, thanks. Just a quick follow-up on your Russian sales again. So your Russian sales in Q3 declined by 24%, if my calculations are correct. You said Forex roughly 10%, ASP down 4% from the mix. So there's still another 10% missing. You said volumes are roughly flat. So where's the decline coming from?
Yeah, well, as I also said that like our total volumes in Russia are flat. For the 9 months. So there is also a timing aspect. But it depends on what markets we fill in which quarters. So you should never look at that like one quarter in separation, but for the total progression of the season and the year.
So in Q3, volumes in Russia have been down, right?
Aspect more than anything else.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I think that completes the meeting today. Thank you, everybody, for participating. See you again in February.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.